Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 327, as this week we bring you the second hour of WCW Fall Brawl 1998. Hello, you people. My name is Pat McNeil. Normally, I'm joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. Jim had a setback this week. He was briefly back on a ventilator. He is not home yet, and we hope that we can get him home soon. We'll have more on that in a bit. Filling in for Jim this week, our friend from the Pro Wrestling Torch, who does the Lord's work, writing recaps of Diva-based shows, please welcome Sarah Knight. Sarah, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1998, and play under Raven's rules?
Evidently, I am, Pat.
Oh, that's good. Okay, let's see. Yeah, we'll talk about... I'll have to do an ad here about donations for Jim are still going on. We're let me direct you to gofundme.com/F/Jim Valley Fundraiser. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Or I think you can just search Jim Valley at GoFundMe and you'll find it. Josh Nason is organizing the fundraiser. Since Jim is still in the hospital, he's probably going to need a few more dollars than he needed before. But right now, Josh and everybody have raised $63,600, which hopefully will pay for a few rounds of hospital tapioca. And if we take a look at the top donations here, there was an anonymous donation. Well, there was a top. I heard allegedly that a certain John Moxley donated on here. Chris Jericho donated $2,500. Tony Khan of AEW donates $2,000. Tony Leader of F4W donated $1,500. $1,000 from Tony Schiavone, $1,000 from Brian Alvarez. My donation was less than $1,000, but Brian Last of the Jim Cornette podcast donates $500. There's donations ranging from thousands down to $1 or $2, and all are welcome here. I mean, I would mention the Patreon, but the Patreon, you know, all the GoFundMe money is going to Jim's hospital stay, and I can tell you only a portion of our patron is going to the Valley family. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. That's how you sponsor the show. That's how you get episodes in advance and episodes ad free and access to the booming archives, which contain, well, at least 326 previous shows and bonus episodes and lots of other stuff. This past week, thanks to Joe Feeney filling in, we were the number 36 most listened to wrestling podcast in Great Britain. That's an improvement. Back up to number 71, 71st most listened to wrestling podcast in Canada. And we made it back on the charts in Brazil for the first time in weeks, and I know everybody's just thrilled about that. So there we are. Okay, so Sarah, September 13th, 1998, you ready for the cultural part of the show?
Oh, dear Lord, sure.
This is describing where we were, you know, just trying to give everybody a reminder of what we were all doing.
I was in college, Pat.
Okay, well, that means you're younger than I am, which is good for you. I'm definitely going to say that. Okay, New York Times bestsellers on this date. In the fiction category, Rainbow Six by Tom Clancy. In the nonfiction category, The Day Diana Died by Christopher Anderson.
Was that book already out?
In September 98? Yeah.
Oh, wait, she died in 1997. That's right.
Yeah.
The day before I left to go to college.
Oh, congratulations. Sheesh. Number one, you want to try this one? Number one Billboard song on the U.S. charts, September 98?
Sadly, it's not going to be Chumbawamba, so I don't know.
No, it's not. It's going to be from the hit film Armageddon. It's going to be I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
Well, at least it wasn't Celine Dion. So
that's true. Yes, we've had enough Celine Dion when we do these. Number one movie in this country, Rounders with Matt Damon and Edward Norton.
And I have still never seen that movie.
Oh, then you're missing John Lithgow playing a Russian mobster.
Okay.
Son of a bitch. All day long, he check. Pay him. Pay that man his money. Sorry. But had to be done. Yeah, it's Matt Damon in a poker movie. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
All right. Top news of the day. Former Alabama governor and third-party presidential candidate and known racist George Wallace passed away at the age of 79. Let's see. Pro football. Oh, this is going to be Sarah's favorite part.
Nothing about. Yay.
That's fine. I got this one covered. Why don't I start with this one? Tennis in the U.S. Open. It was Patrick Rafter winning his second straight Open. The Australian beat Andre Philippoussis 6-3, 3-6, 6-2, and 6-0. I got about a 50% chance of getting that guy's last name right. So there we go. If you were watching Sunday Night Football instead of watching WCW pay-per-view, there was a rookie quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts by the name of Peyton Manning who was out there taking on the New England Patriots. The Patriots won 29-6. Peyton had three interceptions, one of which was returned for a 59-yard touchdown by Ty Law. The coach of the Patriots at this time, Pete Carroll, and not Bill Belichick. Pete Carroll won a Super Bowl coaching a different team. So that's all the people need to know, I think. Okay, do you have anything else you want to share from 1999? From 1998, excuse me.
I don't remember that much about 1998, Pat.
That's right, you were in college. Okay. Okay, so I'm here with my good friend Shane Shadows, and I get to explain to Shane how Patreon works if you sign up at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Shane, you know that we've been doing this show for 6 years now and change, so you probably want, and the show is there for free on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and basically and wherever your finer podcasts are aired. So you're probably wondering, what could a patron offer me? Well, I'll tell you what. How about ad-free episodes of the show before the show comes out for everybody else? I think that's a good start.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. And, you know, that we had a bunch of shows that we did on Pro Wrestling Torch that were locked behind the paywall. And thanks to a deal we made, you get access on our Patreon to all the shows. All 324 episodes. Including stuff.
All 324?
All 324 episodes, including Jim and I doing the 92 Rumble and, the Wrestling Classic, which is probably one of our most enjoyed episodes. WrestleMania's 16 through 20, all that stuff is in there. And the best part is it's relatively inexpensive, $4.50 a month on Patreon. And you get all of that. $10 a month is our Black Scorpion tier. You get all of that plus the bonus matches and bonus shows that we do. And, I can point out, Shane, that no matter which option you choose, you'll get every time that Shane Shadows has guest hosted Way Back Playback.
Wow. All that for $4.50?
I know, that's a heck of an entertainment deal for $4.50. And of course,
tremendous.
That's what I always say. And that's what Bob Keller always says too. And he would definitely tell you to check it out. Patreon.com/waybackplayback. Your source for all of your Way Back Playback needs. We are at 1 hour, 3 minutes, and 41 seconds. Or we are at the start of match number 5, which is the Cruiserweight title match, since this week I'm not having struggles with the network, but Sarah's had struggles with the network.
Sarah has never had the network.
Well, that would be a struggle, right? Then you had no struggles with the network. The Cruiserweight title match is next. Are you about ready to get... I'm above the ring. Above the ring waiting for the introductions of the Cruiserweight title match. Above two rings, yes. Okay, so you're ready, I'm ready, the American people are ready. We're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And it's nice to not have a pay-per-view this Sunday night, tonight to worry about here. Happy Sunday. Okay. And Tony Schiavone says, all right, Penzer. Okay. Let's meet the Cruiserweights. It's Silver King, star of the legendary hit movie Nacho Libre.
Is Silver King still alive?
No, he's not.
Oh.
Yeah. He was wearing a mask in Nacho Libre. We don't get to see his handsome face. This is during the period of time when we didn't want luchadors to have masks because, you know, WCW was stupid.
I remember that.
And here's our champion. Le Champion, that's not what they call him. Yes. Yes, the guy who was the juiciest wrestler in WCW at the time.
Ubuntu Guerrero, also without a mask.
Of course. Yep.
Psychosis was the one that had the one with the horns on it, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, Psychosis was cool, yeah.
I distinctly always remember his hair getting stuck in his horns.
Yes. Yeah, all lucha wrestlers must, by law, come out to a random theme from a Mexican restaurant. It was just really embarrassing.
Well, if they were riding lawnmowers yet.
No, that would be
WWE.
That would
be WWF.
Yeah, WWE, yes. All right, Hoovy. Okay. Impeach Clinton, Heenan for president. Well, there you go. Makes sense.
That didn't really work out.
No, Heenan never became president.
No, he did not. Mm-hmm.
Sadly. No, I don't think he could have been president, but governor of Florida, I think he would have had a real shot at that. Anyway. So, oh, there you go, Silver King.
I'm sure they would have elected him in Indiana.
Yeah, maybe. Minnesota. Oh, that was Jesse Ventura, but still.
Yeah.
Your referee is Little Nature Boy Charles Robinson. And we're underway. And once again, I will for the second straight week, I will point out that the fans here in Winston-Salem absolutely into everything that happened. All the wrestlers on this show. So, yeah.
Is that sarcasm, Pat?
They were. They were into it until the finish, until the matches happened. Now we're going to see the match that is the highlight of the show. The reason Lodi wanted to see this show, that's going to be up next. That's Saturn and Raven. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Apparently, one of the other luchadors told Hoovy to put "Sweet Surrender" on the back of his tights, knowing Hoovy and had no idea what it meant. And I guess it was sort of an inside shot at him. I don't know, because Juventud was not a submission wrestler, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, those wacky WCW wrestlers. Yep, there we go.
Well, at least they're still in the ring.
Hey.
Foreshadowing.
He looks kind of like Lucha Brad Garrett. No, maybe not.
I think he's more handsome than Brad Garrett, Pat.
Silver King?
Yes.
Okay. Well.
You know, women have an Instagram filter where we can, like, subtract, like, 30 pounds, so we're good.
So, okay. Yeah, well, I'm married. I don't need it. All right, Josh. Kicks. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Silver King might be able to use it. Yeah. Here we go. Oh. Yes, Mike Tenay needs to be out there to explain the Lucha Libre wrestlers, even though they've been on the show for like 2 years now.
Someone will always have to explain it, Pat.
Yeah, that's true.
Except for in WWE, where nothing is ever explained.
That's true. Well, that's modern WWE.
Yeah, because they got to talk about some backstage segment.
Right. Yeah. All right.
Okay, one of them goes out of the ring, the other one gets in. Great.
Yep, that's right. Oh, there we go. Yeah, perfect.
At least they're not both wearing black.
That's true. That's one of the highlights of WCW.
The colored trunks.
Colored trunks are nice. Especially in the late 90s when, you know, every indie show there was like 30 guys wearing black trunk with, you know, in black trunks.
That's still every indie show now if they have trunks and are not wearing random street clothes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like Jeff Hardy has to have like a closet in his house where he went to Hot Topic and bought all his pants.
Yeah, I would
no
guess
idea
so.
Where he got those from.
I would guess so, and he's held on. But look at how long he's managed to hold on.
I know. He had to have just like bought a Hot Topic warehouse.
That would have been the move there, I think. Once that money comes in.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about clothing yourself. Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah, both of these. Tanae's pointing out both these guys started wrestling as teenagers.
I would have just died right there. So that's me.
Well, that's an improvement. Well, yeah.
Well, did Silver King not want to pin him?
Well, I guess not. Yeah, you don't want to try. It's just embarrassing.
They want this to go on for at least 3 more minutes.
I think so. Yes. All right. But this is the first. This is our first. No, it's not. This is our second title match of the show. If you count Jericho against defending the TV title against Johnny Attitude. Oh, nice one. That's Abyss used that. Yeah. Shock treatment. Okay. Yeah,
Silver King just touched the referee.
Oh, no. Oh, and through the ropes.
Apparently did not matter.
No, not at all. Not just like, yeah. Here we go. Oh, now that's quite a move. That was, of course, you know, people at WCW fans have been watching Jericho do that for a while, but yeah. I think Benoit also used to be able to do that. Anyway. I mean, but watching Silver King do it was still pretty impressive. You have to admit. Okay. All right, now, yeah. Okay, so after killing the guy, you know, Silver King gets up and, like, taps him with a boot. And yeah. Yeah. There we go. All right, now somebody needs the killer instinct to finish the other guy off. Silver King desperately wants to be WCW Cruiserweight Champion. Well, I don't think anybody believes that, but...
I don't believe that.
Oh. That was good. That was a good cover on that.
Although this was before Vince Russo came in and Vince Russo'd everything.
Yes, that's true. Yep. Vince Russo cannot be blamed for this show, by the way. I think I said this last week and I'll say it again. Of all the people you can blame for this show, Vince Russo is not one of them. He was busy screwing up the WWF at the time. Oh, there we go. That's what he wanted.
That's when Mae Young was giving birth to a hand.
I don't know the exact timeline on Mae Young and the hand, but I will. Okay, good grief. Yes. Yeah, if somebody was having a miscarriage, it was Vince Russo was involved somehow. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Well, that makes no sense. Okay.
I see. Executed the drop kick and actually hit it.
No, I'm at the move before that. All right, he's dead. No, he's not dead. There we go. Just cover that man.
I think they're both just going to get tired at some point, and then
they're already tired. Okay.
I'm not really sure how that wiped out the jaw when he hit him in the forehead with his boot, but okay, Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, well, those are little tiny monitors they have at ringside.
Yeah.
That's all I can give you. All right. Yes, so the fans are somehow less excited than they were when the match started.
That's because they're waiting for the match to end at this point.
Well, yes, they are.
It seems like one of them should have been able to put away the other one by now.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, actually, the Mae Young Mark Henry thing can't be blamed on Russo because Russo was in WCW at the time.
Oh.
I know.
Good.
Oh, the reverse Rana. Oh. And of course, that's not the finish. Clark is on AOL, Sarah. Did you know that?
Wait, what was on AOL?
The guy holding the sign.
Oh.
Clark143 at AOL.com.
Good old AOL.
That guy was the epitome of cool in 98. Yep.
I'm sure he had a message board.
Yep, that feels pretty, that feels like a safe bet. Okay. Yeah. All right, and up.
Oh, nice. Missed that. You should have looked before he leaped.
Yes, you should have. Well, yeah. I mean, impressive, but, you know, nowhere near. I mean, even if Hoovy had stayed still, it would have been nowhere near him.
All right, Hoovy, look before you leap on him.
I know.
Let's try that.
Yeah.
All right, that one worked.
Although
they are suspiciously close to the ropes.
It's kind of funny how that worked, but, yeah. Yeah, it looked good, though. Yay, Juventud. Yes, Juventud managed to somehow hold on and not lose to Silver King. Congratulations.
And Juventud and his generic music.
That's lovely. Yes, all Mexicans come out to mariachi music. It's the law. I'm surprised during the pay-per-views, they never had a live mariachi band to play from. Okay, I'm not surprised at all.
They probably thought about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like 3 seconds.
All right, the little War Games highlights. Let's watch it again. Nice. Yep. Silver King got the moves.
Now, was this before Judy Bagwell was one of the tag champs?
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's coming still. Yeah, this is before they entirely gave up on tag team wrestling.
I have strangely fond memories of Judy Bagwell. Mm.
We love John Boy and Billy. Well, there you go, folks. All right. Oh, no.
This was before everybody had a phone so they could text message.
I know. Hey, yo. Okay, here we go. All right, let's look at the WCW.com internet. WCW.com internet here. Lee Marshall and Chan Dabiani. No, that's our interviewing Conan. Uh-oh, and look, Scott Hall is interrupting, getting ready for their match, which we'll see next week. The huge Conan-Scott Hall match, repercussions of which still being felt today. This is a pay-per-view. People were paying money for this. And this, oh my God, oh, he threw a drink on him. Oh no, and a fruity drink too.
I know.
Oh, there's your Scott Hall shirt. Woo!
This is before t-shirts were terrible.
Yes, that's true too.
Have you seen that Roman Reigns head of the table t-shirt?
I have.
I finally looked at the screen during SmackDown the other night and was like,
"Well, that was your mistake, wasn't it?" Oh, here we go. All right. Okay, this is how the storyline began. All right, so Saturn and Lodi start this off. Yeah. So.
I don't feel like Saturn is going to end up being Lodi's personal servant.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Lodi wasn't the one that I had a crush on, Pat.
Well, that's not how this works. Sorry, Lodi. Yeah. And it wasn't Canyon?
Sadly, no, it was not Canyon.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yes, okay. So what you're saying is that Sarah liked the bad boys. Is that what we're going
to? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-oh.
And she still does, but that's another story.
Damn it, it just went to the true story of Hulk Hogan.
Okay, well, Canyon is getting in Saturn's face.
All right, let's...
Hit me, Saturn, hit me. Yep. Okay, so a lot of disconnected storylines. Yeah, break his fingers. Raven orders Saturn to break the guy's fingers.
All right, give me a second here, Pat. I'm having a technical moment.
Yes. Okay. I'll tell you what. Right. Oh, either break his fingers or Raven will break yours. Wow. So come on. You're a little behind, and your volume's loud. But okay.
Is Saturn not allowed to hit Canyon?
I guess he's not allowed to hit anybody. Oh, no, and Canyon jumps him from behind. And Raven, Raven breaks Saturn's fingers. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're getting closer. All right. Raven's already broken Saturn's fingers, and now...
Raven knows exactly what he's thinking.
Oh, and he's going to break his fingers again. Oh, no. This is horrible. Okay. Now we're getting back to...
That is an awful, painful finger break.
Lodi is not here, sign. Saturn has.
Yeah. So mean.
Lodi's the only one who can stop him.
Lodi is not here.
So is Saturn broken all of his fingers yet, or what?
Yes, but he's beating up Canyon now. Canyon's match against Jobber Boy is called off, and Canyon's getting beaten up by Perry Saturn. Funk. Yeah. Oh, and now he's got Canyon. I think he broke Canyon's hand.
Oh, not the right thing to
He rammed his hand in the post. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, no, and now Kenyon's hurt. And there's the flock. The flock, to tell us, orders the flock to beat up Saturn. Flock, don't make me do this. Oh, no.
Oh, poor Horace Billy Kidman.
Horace Boulder, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I think you're a little ahead of it. Here comes Billy Kidman, and there goes Billy Kidman. Up and over and out. And Saturn has ripped through the entire flock. Raven's up there with his Dinosaur Jr. shirt. No, Raven wore a different shirt for every taping.
Yes, he did.
Because he's cool like that. Happy now. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you're good. Sarah's only a couple seconds ahead of us, boys and girls. So what? You can turn down the volume. Okay. Sorry. There we go. All right. Okay, so yes, they agreed to this Ravens Rules match. Really an unnecessarily long explanation for this angle, but okay.
Oh my God, we're not actually in the match yet, are we?
No, we're not. Okay, the rule is, if Saturn wins, the flock goes free. If Raven wins, Saturn has to come back and into the flock, something like that.
So and, this is before the dress angle.
Yes, it is. And it's no disqualification. I think Kenyon is handcuffed to the ring post. I think those are the rules. Raven beat Saturn.
Why Kenyon handcuffed to the ring post?
Because he's got a broken hand. I mean, that's the only
okay. Poor Kenyon.
Because this is WCW. You're lucky you won't be here next week for the War Games when they try to explain how they're going to do that. Sabotage t-shirt? Yes.
I like this music.
Yeah. Okay. And there's Kenny. Oh, J.J. Dillon and that brute force from WCW Security. They're going to handcuff Kenyon to the ring post.
Poor Kenyon. Well, he's already got half the handcuffs on, so I don't know why fighting it at this point.
I don't understand. Yeah, so, well, you need Kenyon handcuffed to the ring post to make sure that there's no interference in this match. Sorry.
That makes him closer to the ring, Pat. Shouldn't they have, like, handcuffed him to the guardrail?
I'm sorry, you realize this is WCW we're talking about.
I know.
And Kevin Nash is booking, and he just doesn't give a crap, as last I heard.
So are they going to handcuff him before the turnbuckle or after
turnbuckle? He's handcuffed to the bottom.
Okay, because I thought they would have just gone the bottom rope so that they could give him the entire.
No, the bottom bar. He's only allowed in one corner.
Okay.
Still not as good as handcuffing a guy to El Gigante, which was. Well, that's another story. That's one we've already done. All right, so yeah, Raven does have Kenyon in his corner. There we go. Oh, this is okay. And Lodi's out here in a no disqualification match.
Wait, it's a no disqualification match, but Kenyon has to be handcuffed to something.
Well, yes, so he doesn't interfere in the no disqualification match.
This made a lot of sense, Pat.
Oh, here comes Saturn. Terry Saturn. Yeah, they decided Perry wasn't a cool enough first name.
Even though he was the only guy named Perry ever?
Well, you're forgetting Dr. Cox from Scrubs, but yes.
I don't think the Scrubs guy was on wrestling.
No, he wasn't. I think I would have remembered that. Although if WCW had stayed in existence, who knows?
He may have been champion.
I went back and, you know, you forget this is the pay-per-view after they had Jay Leno wrestle. And oh. I looked back through the newsletters from this time period, and they're seriously making an offer to Jackie Chan to get him on a pay-per-view. And that did not happen, by the way.
Wow.
Yep. Because it's WCW. We needed Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman and Jay Leno to get Diamond Dallas Page over.
I remember how bad the Carl Malone part was.
Saturn, you've been an embarrassment for far too long.
Yeah, you tell him. Permanent servitude, okay.
You're permanent.
So mean, Raven.
Yeah.
So mean.
Yeah, you were into it. We know you were. All right. Scoops. Signed for Scoops.
Involving Canyon, but yeah. Thank goodness for the
right.
Handcuffs.
There you go.
This is all about honor that you have none.
Oh, dear Lord.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, not many men,
yes. This is all about Perry Saturn's integrity, folks.
Was this before or after he had his name tattooed on his stomach?
His name is tattooed on his stomach right
okay.
now.
Okay. So I remember the 8 million times that Bobby Heenan used to mention that.
Yes, because he thought it was funny. Well, Jimmy Valiant had his name tattooed on his stomach. Nobody, you know, well, actually, people did make fun of that, but that's another story. Okay.
And it had the forehead tattoo.
Saturn?
No, Jimmy Valiant.
Jimmy Valiant. Last time I saw him, he did not have a forehead tattoo.
Didn't one of them have a forehead tattoo?
Oh,
or wait, that was Boogie Woogie somebody.
Boogie Woogie Man is Jimmy Valiant.
Oh, fine.
Bam Bam Bigelow had tattoos all over his head.
There was someone who had a forehead tattoo, Pat.
I'm sure there was. Saturn is bald. There's a sign there. Thank you, Lodi.
Thank God someone explained that to us.
Yes. All right, Raven's got the advantage right now. Oh, the high knee lift. Yep. Oh, Saturn's in real trouble.
No, Jimmy Valiant has a forehead tattoo, Pat.
It does?
I did not imagine that, yes.
Oh, you looked it up for me. Thank you.
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, it's not, you know, I don't know if it's really the most distinctive thing about Jimmy Valiant, but okay. Yes.
Ah, the fast-paced Raven match.
There we go. Oh, oh. Yes, look at those boots to the head that don't connect. Oh, there we go. All right.
At least he's swinging his hair around, so you sort of can't see it.
The pace is picking up here.
It's not going to stay picked up, Pat. This is a Raven match.
Well, no. Look at that. Oh, Saturn's doing fine. Yes. Okay,
you think the Raven could just go out there and give up?
Why?
Well, you know, it was the grunge ethos.
No, that's not that wasn't Raven's style.
Still.
There we go. Uncuff Canyon. Well, there you go.
So how come only two flock people came out with Raven?
I don't know. That's an excellent question.
It's a no disqualification match. So
you would think that they had sent the entire flock out. Yes, I agree.
Would have come out.
You would think. Although maybe the flock really wanted to be free of Raven.
What is the point of having a flock if the flock will not work for you?
I don't know. A flock of Ravens. Oh, that's good.
At least Lodi is out there keeping Canyon company.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Not alone.
Taken out by Saturn. No, says Canyon. No.
Uh-oh. Will Canyon be able to escape from Perry Saturn?
I guess. Oh. Nope, Lodi's got him. Oh, that diabolical Lodi did it again.
Here.
Yeah.
Seems like Perry Saturn should have been able to have, you know, held onto the ring apron there, but
he was caught off balance by Lodi's brilliantly timed interference. Isn't that where we're going with this? Yeah.
And Canyon is over there doing nothing.
Well, he's handcuffed. He's handcuffed to the turnbuckle, to the metal. I mean, come on. What do you expect?
I think he's been trying to break free of that for about 20 seconds now.
Oh, there we go.
You would think that it would have occurred to him to bring, like, bolt cutters or
something. You would think.
I mean, if he knew it was going to happen, just pop by the hardware store on the way to the arena.
Bill, did you inhale? Well, that's a terrible thing to insinuate about Bill Goldberg. Here we go. It doesn't want to treat it. Oh, elbow drop off the second rope. This is it. No, it's not. Oh, that's right. No, actually.
Was that actually one of Raven's moves?
Not really. Everything Raven does pretty much sets up for that DDT. So, always.
There was a second one. Wow.
Okay. Back-to-back moves. Oh, yes. And Raven lets out an exciting yawn there. Okay. There you go. Took out. Yep. Oh, Saturn going. No! Saturn trained by the great Killer Kowalski.
Oh, he almost got him with a schoolboy, but not.
Nope.
See, if this was WWE, he would have gotten him with a schoolboy. And also someone would have said Sports Entertainment 700 times during this match.
Sports Entertainment and Superstars.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, my God. Mike Tenay just said wrestlers.
Well, Mike Tenay never did get with a program, so. That's why WWE never brought him on. Okay, there we go. Oh, the sleeper. That's right, the sleeper. Oh. Oh,
wait, did
he
actually win matches with this?
Allegedly. Okay, there we go.
At least Saturn was selling it.
Yep, the jawjacker did it. Okay, there they are.
I'm amazed there haven't been more sleeper holds in WWE.
I know. I think they think choke holds will be, you know, like MMA-style choke holds are the thing. Yeah, we need a sleeper hold back.
There's a kip-up in every match. But
well, nowadays there is. Yeah, they're having to send Keith Lee back to the Performance Center to teach him not to kip-up. I mean, it's really kind of sad.
Could they send him back to the performance, the part that he needs to work on?
No, you don't learn how to do anything better in NXT. I mean, I'm sorry, what was that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, the main roster is where you go to fix everything that got you over in NXT.
Okay. Well.
Mission accomplished, right, I know. Oh, he's got him. It's over.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, no. Woo. What?
This playlist doesn't just go to the next thing.
I'm sorry. Okay, he's trying to pin Saturn. He's still trying to pin Saturn. Let me know when you get there. Oh no, and Raven took the knee to the doodads and he is down. Both men are down. But since there's no rule against a low blow in a Raven's rules match, it's fair game, so Saturn is gonna get up to his feet first, Sarah. Yep. Okay, here we go. Oh, Raven with the shoulder block to the midsection. And he has Saturn in the corner. No. Oh, no. All right. Now, what have we got? Oh, and now Lodi passes Raven a chair. Here we go.
Okay, we're at the same point again.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right. Now, what's he going to do? He's going to sit down at some point, but yeah. Drop to hold on the chair. Here we go. Oh, well, he dropped toe hold, hit Saturn's hand, and that jammed the razor blade that Saturn was holding into his hand into his forehead, and he's going to bleed.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, was that too, yeah, that might have been a bit too much there. Hold on, what's going on here? I know that.
Wait,
did Horace.
Somebody finally get Canyon some bolt cutters?
No, it's
oh,
Horace,
it's
and it's, and they Sick Boy.
Finally,
Sick Boy and Horace are here.
So Raven is going to end up going through this table, isn't he?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe.
Nope. There's Kidman.
Fully rule of
Kidman's going to hit the shooting star press, maybe. Nope. No, he only drop-kicked Raven.
Liberated.
He drop-kicked Raven. Kidman wants to be liberated.
Run, Kidman, run.
Run, Kidman. Yes. Yes, Bruce Mitchell wrote a column explaining Kidman's gimmick was supposed to be he's a heroin addict. But anyway, that's a story. The Kidman
gimmick. Yeah.
All right, Death Valley Driver. Nope, Mickey J is distracted by everybody.
Well, Raven was down for like a 15 count there.
Yes, but the referee was distracted because this is WCW and all referees are idiots. So.
And also, it's not Charles Robinson.
That's true. If it was Charles Robinson, bam.
He wouldn't have been paying attention.
No problem. All right. Panic is setting in. So all the Kidman, as all the other members of the flock are chasing Kidman.
And, well,
anyway,
he's kind of incarcerated.
Okay. Yep. Here we go. Somebody's going to have to get up. At least that's the theory.
They could lay there for the count of 10, both of them.
Right.
I'm sure that would have been Raven's preference.
Yeah. Well, I thought you liked this guy. Jeez, it's a shame.
Well, you know, I like everyone in the same sarcastic way.
Okay, here we go. Oh! All right, here we go. Belly to belly! Overhead suplex.
All right, Saturn's got some energy.
Oh, yeah. Yes, okay, that was a brief flash of excitement from the audience. And here we go. Up, body slam. Oh, nice. Springboard leg drop from the second rope. No.
They apparently don't care about grabbing the hair in WCW.
No, it's not a big deal.
No, I guess it was.
It's a Hoobie Driver.
On something match.
Yeah. Yeah, there's Raven's rules. There's no rules against hair pulling. And, you know,
he isn't really doing a lot in the ring corner here.
No.
He's like Miss Elizabeth from the one match where,
yes,
sadly, he's not going to take his pants down.
Oh, well. Two. Oh, there we go. Oh, the Rings of Saturn.
Uh-oh.
That's it.
Raven about to lose the flock.
Yes, he is. Well,
so Lodi is Lodi not with the save. Good at interference, is he?
Well, you see, he made the save there. He
could have actually gotten in the ring, though. I don't feel like he put a lot of effort into
that.
Well,
he's a coward. I mean, you know. Oh, he's going up. Oh, no.
That didn't work out for him.
Well, that's less than ideal if you're the flock. There we go. And reversal. Oh, no. Mickey J is out.
No one could pause. Is Candy going to go in his pants and try to get the key for the handcuffs?
Of course he's going
to
go into his pants. This is WCW. There's no rule against going into the referee's pants in a Ravens rule.
Oh,
match.
Hurry up and uncuff yourself.
I have a feeling Sarah said that before.
Anyway.
Here we go.
Oh, he took it off his wrist. That
oh, very close. Yeah, see.
Reasonable move.
Very good.
The one logical thing that's happened so far.
All right, now the referee's out, though. But here's Canyon.
The referee apparently Flatliner. Didn't notice that a grown man stuck his hand all the way to his pocket either.
Well, you know, I don't know what kind of parties they had in WCW back then. Actually, I do, Lodi told me.
Wait, is Canyon pretending to cuff himself back
yes,
in?
Yes.
God, why?
He's being clever. See how, look how clever he
no
is.
Sense.
Come on, that's
no
brilliant.
Sense whatsoever.
It's a Ravens rules match. I know it's a Ravens rules match, but this is
oh
the,
my god,
this,
you did all that and it didn't even work, Matt.
That was diabolical. Yeah. Well, if he was really smart, even after he locked himself back in, he would have kept the handcuff key so he could get himself back out. Oh wait, he didn't. Oh, I'm sorry.
Poor Canyon.
All right. Hi, Lodi. So Lodi never recovered from his
last.
Had to remain
in the handcuffs until the end of the match.
I guess so. Uh oh, here we go. What are we doing? Oh, Lodi goes to the table. Good guess though.
The Mick Foley rule of heel objects stands.
Yep. Okay.
So is Raven about to win control of the flock that he already had control of?
Well, he gets Saturn back, though.
Well, he didn't actually win there, though.
Right. He would get, but that's the stipulation is he would get Saturn back permanently. Saturn could never leave again. Yes. Oh, I forgot. Raven's finisher in WCW is called the Even Flow. Oh, there we go. Death Valley Driver.
Wait. So Saturn just won his freedom.
Saturn won the freedom of the entire flock.
So
Locke is free to go.
Did Canyon remove himself from over? Oh, wait, nope, he's still attached. Okay.
No, because he's not the brightest guy.
Well, he is kicking his feet.
Okay, if Saturn wins, Lodi gets a bath, I think is what they're saying. Okay, that's funny. Yep. Jeez. All right, so Lodi's dead. And Raven's done.
Well, at least he's selling that table.
Yes, I like that part. Oh, yeah.
He didn't get up 3 seconds later and execute five more moves.
No, that's modern wrestling.
Yes, it is.
It is. All right, yeah.
Why were there two rings?
Because of the War Games, which is the third hour. The War Games is the giant cage which covers two rings. That's one of the rules of the War Games.
Okay.
There you go. Double-sized cage covers two rings. Don't worry. Yeah, next week we'll get to hear about it. We'll get to watch as WCW ruins War Games forever, by the way.
Well, they bring it back, Pat, so it could have been forever.
You believe it or not. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah, this is actually one of the highlights of the show where Tony Schiavone gets to announce that Hacksaw Jim Duggan, his cancer is in remission. Yep. They removed the tumor. Yeah. So yeah. So that's actually something real that somehow got stuck on the show.
And then they would put him in Team Canada.
Well, of course. Hello, ladies. Yes. Those guys are not Ric Flair. Okay. Saturn wins, Lodi gets a shave. Ah, okay, I get it now. Yeah. Hey! Now, this is last year's War Games. 1997's War Games.
Is that when Kurt Hennig was still alive? Or?
Yes, Kurt Hennig turned. Oh.
Is that the My Spot thing?
Yes, that was 97. Now we're in 98, and there apparently is a steel cage, like, I guess we're doing Hell in a Cell here with Malenko and Kurt Hennig. Why I don't know. On Nitro, I don't know. It's called Caged Heat when WCW does it. When WCW does Hell in a Cell, it's called Caged Heat, for whatever reason.
Okay.
Yes. The things you learn when you recap WCW.
Well, they had to call it something different. It would be copyright.
I know, I appreciate that. Oh. Yeah, so Malenko, so Hennig is the traitor. Ric Flair is suspended from WCW for, you know, having the nerve to attend his son's wrestling thingy. Yeah, yes. All right. Well, okay. So now we get the match everybody's been waiting for at the pay-per-view, the big singles match between Dean Malenko and Kurt Hennig.
Well, Eric Bischoff has the key to something.
Yeah. Well, that at least makes sense. They open up the cage so that Rick Rude can come in and beat up Malenko.
Because Kurt Hennig couldn't do it.
Well, Malenko had him locked in the clover leaf.
Oh, in one of his 1,000 holds.
Yes. And yes, there's a disqualification in Hell in a Cell because this is WCW.
So the referee is actually paying attention.
Yes. Oh well. Okay, but Malenko's actually a winner, so. This is the end. Yeah, that's Stevie Ray. This is NWO Hollywood. You remember there's two NWOs in 1998.
The quality of the video here on my screen is not that great.
I'm sorry.
Despite the fact that I'm sitting like a foot away from this.
Okay. Right. But yeah, this is the final match of this episode of Way Back Playback. The big grudge match, Dean Malenko and Kurt Hennig.
Is this the video recap leading up to it? The recap
leading up to it. So, yeah, they're going to slam the door on Malenko's head. Oh, maybe they aren't. I don't know. Oh, Arn Anderson comes out and makes a save with his bad arm.
Okay, Arn Anderson does not feel that Dean Malenko should be concussed.
No, Arn's a horseman. Well, a former horseman. He's a retired wrestler. So Arn Anderson's like, yeah.
Arn Anderson is now going to beat up Stevie Ray.
Arn Anderson and his wife beater is now taking on Steve, with a bad arm, is taking on Stevie Ray. And the fans are going nuts.
Well, it's Arn.
Well, it is Arn. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, so Stevie Ray, who has gotten beaten up by almost everyone in the promotion in the past few weeks, he's
now,
in the main event.
If Russo had booked that, then Arn and Dean would have turned on each other.
Right. Arn apparently said at one point that Dean Malenko wasn't good enough to be a horseman, and now he's changed his mind.
I think I briefly remember that.
Yeah. Well, because they wanted to team Malenko and Benoit, which was a good idea, so because of how good they were as a tag team in ECW, for one thing. And they're both good tag team wrestlers. All right, anyway, it's the moment that nobody's been waiting for. It's Dean Malenko versus Curt Hennig. And it takes a lot of work to make wrestling fans not interested in Dean Malenko and Mr. Perfect, I got to say.
Yeah, it seems like it should have been a good match.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Here's Rick Rude shortly before his death, actually. Eesh. Rick Rude is trying to take... Rick Rude is trying anything, surgeries, pharmaceutical cocktails, and I think the GHB, at least Mick Foley believes the GHB is what killed him.
Why did the guy have NWO written on a neck brace?
Maybe he's a big Joel Gertner fan. I don't know. You got me. Okay, so here we go. It's Curt Hennig.
At least Curt Hennig was excited to get in the ring.
Yeah, he is. But there was a decent chance that Curt Hennig was loaded at the time. Yeah. Which is probably part of the problem. All right, here we go.
Dean Malenko did not have exciting music.
No, he did. Well, that's the gimmick. He's not exciting.
Oh, damn it.
All right, here he comes. He was, of course, the number one ranked wrestler in the world, according to PWI 500.
All right, technical issue. There we go. I've got Dean Malenko back.
The shooter, Dean Malenko, and the horseman. This is the only horse. We're in North Carolina. This is going to be the only horseman appearance of the night, really. So we're just going to go with it.
No, right, because Ric Flair was suspended.
Ric Flair suspended. Benoit's not on the card for whatever reason. Steve Mongo McMichael is not on the card, but that's for a good reason. So.
Yeah.
Rick Rude died in April of 1999. So, still got a while, yeah. And the fan starts, the crowd starts, oh, we want Flair fans chants. And Malenko is wearing black trunks, even though he should know very well that everyone in the NWO is going to wear black.
He had the silver trunks, didn't he, I guess. Yeah. It was his one other color.
Yeah. All right, so he's stomping away on Hennig. Outside the ring.
At least Dean Malenko avoided going through the open ropes earlier.
Yeah, Malenko was
an issue.
Right. Oh no. Rick Rude's selling, which is, remember he's not bumping, but he's selling. Yeah. All right, here we go. To the post. All right. Malenko and Hennig, and I believe Mark Curtis is your referee, a.k.a. the late Brian Hildebrand.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's probably paying more attention than the referee in the Raven Saturday
right.
match.
I'm fairly sure he is, yeah. Yep. Oh, stomp. And Malenko working a body part like this is...
Spending a lot of time in the ropes here.
This is Malenko working a body part like he's Ole Anderson in 1975. So, there we go.
Well, it's not a Randy Orton chin lock.
No,
so.
That's right. No, Malenko's usually fun to watch. I kind of like the brief attempt by WWE to make him give him the James Bond entrance. Yeah, but really nothing came of that. So
the strange Lita storyline.
Well, at least he had a storyline. Soup is in the house. Hi, Soup. That was the fan sign. Welcome back, Nature Boy. No, Nature Boy doesn't come back until the next night. Yeah. Yeah, the show after this is Nitro, the night afterwards, and that's when Ric Flair came back. So yes, it's another instance of using the pay-per-view to set up the Monday night show, which both WWF and WCW became good at during this time.
Nitro would have been 3 hours at this point.
Yes, 3 hour Nitros. Nobody in the lengthy history of Wayback Playback, nobody's ever voted for us to do a 3 hour Nitro. Or 3 hour Raw, for that matter. Funny how that works.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. I'm sure it's an oversight. Okay, double thumb to the eyes. Very nice by Kurt Hennig. Yeah, but I mean, you look at Kurt Hennig like late 80s and early 90s before the injury, and you look at him now, and it's just, it's not really the same guy. I mean, he's doing his best, he's trying, but
he's better than Horace Hogan.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I like to set a nice low bar, Pat.
Yeah. Kurt Hennig could be working while he could be sleepwalking, and he'd be better than. Well, never mind. You get the idea.
I know.
Uh-huh. All right. He's
so
got.
What did Kurt Hennig do to his knee?
What's that?
What did Kurt Hennig do to his knee?
Whatever it is, he has got a brace on.
Also, when did Kurt Hennig start wearing like basketball shorts?
I guess that's the NW. I don't know. I guess that sort of goes with the NW identity. I guess he didn't. I don't know. I don't know why he didn't just make an NWO singlet. Couldn't have been that hard. You just put the stupid. You make it black and white. And you put the stupid logo on it.
No. Yeah. Was this before the rap is crap thing?
Yes. Yes. The year before, 1999. That was a career revival if ever there was one. You know, okay, we need a bunch of stupid goons to set up the No Limit Soldiers. Let's get Kurt Hennig and Barry Windham and a couple other doofuses to play country music fans. And of course, this being WCW, all the fans liked the country music and hated the No Limit Sylvester P and the No Limit Soldiers. I know it's hard to believe.
To the point where
there were actually radio stations playing rap as crap.
Yeah.
Because they saw it on WCW and liked the song.
Yeah.
To the point where then they got rid of rap as crap and made them do another song because they didn't want the
too red popular. Getting
over. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh please no! Don't hurt me. I have a bad knee. Oh. There we go, Dean Malenko.
Dean Malenko, no pity for your bad knee.
That's why. Why do you think that there's so many Dean Malenko fans? Guys are like this. We finally have a guy who doesn't. We finally have a guy who's not Sting, who doesn't fall for all the stupid tricks that other wrestlers fall for.
Poor Sting. He was so gullible.
Poor Sting. I mean, look, the guy's 61 years old and he's still making money in wrestling.
I know.
Oh, there we go. Great
point
on the leg.
To be fair, Dean Malenko works there too now.
So. Yeah, but, that's true. Malenko was really good. Ah, there's Rude. Good job, Rude. Hey, just now he noticed that Rude was interfering. Thanks.
At least he noticed.
Yeah.
And Rick Rude didn't have to be handcuffed to the ring post.
Get him off the ropes. There we go. Oh, back to working the leg. Yeah, Hennig's knee must have been hurt, and they decided to make that the focus of the match. Hennig's knee's hurt, and instead of taking him out of the match, which is, because you have 300 other wrestlers on the roster you could have done, we'd build the match around.
Well, now he's gouging Dean Malenko's eyes out, and Dean Malenko is not trying to something his eyeballs.
Yeah, I know. There we go. All right, time for Kurt Hennig. Nope.
At least he didn't pull one of his eyes out, like... WCW could have averted us from the Rey Mysterio.
Oh no, interference by Rude. Hey, get down from there. All right.
You would think that Dean Malenko would have like made a friend so that his friend could fight with Rick Rude on the outside of the ring.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't understand. Yeah, good guys would never,
guys
would know there are people outside interfering and never bring anyone to ringside with them.
They could have got like a manager or something.
They could have. Yep. There we go. Oh, he's going for the perfect plex. He did the perfect plex on Mr. Perfect, and that's
a DQ. Rick is openly in the ring now, kicking people.
That's a DQ, folks. Oh, look who's coming in to make the save.
Is it Chris Benoit?
No.
Oh, is it Arn Anderson?
Yeah, that would be my guess. There we go. Off the ropes.
WCW isn't exactly panning up the aisle to show why the crowd is cheering. So.
No, I want
to
surprise you. It's Arn. He's taking forever to get to the ring anyway. I don't know what they were.
Arn is
that wasn't what they were. There. They were cheering for something else before that, then, I guess. And there's Arn. Oh, no. And
either
now Arn's getting beat up.
Poor Dean Malenko being beaten up.
Oh, no. They're going after Arn's injured
neck. How did Arn go down so quickly?
Because he's injured. He's got a bad neck. Remember, that's why he had to retire.
Well, I know, but he ran out there.
Yeah, he doesn't need his neck to run. There we go. Oh, that arm's going to be broken. You hate to see it.
Why is Rick Rude's shirt so wet?
Because he's sweating. Because he drank a gallon of GHB before he went out there. I mean, come on. You're overthinking this. Okay, here we go.
So, Rick Rude and Kurt Hennig just gave up at this point because they rang the bell enough?
Yeah, well, they got to clear the ring for the next match, so. And Hennig's hurt.
Hennig needs to limp back to the back.
Yep, that's right. Oh, boy, so only two more exciting matches left to go on this show. But, we're going to have to, save something for next week, though, so. All right.
So wait, Kurt Hennig, who was from Minnesota, was part of the West Texas Redneck.
That's part of the joke. That was, the whole thing was an inside joke. So.
This makes complete sense.
Yes. All right, so, and let's hear about our next pay-per-view, which we actually covered on a previous episode. If you get the Patreon, you can see patreon.com/waybackplayback. Halloween Havoc 98, Awakening the Evil Within. The Evil Within was Hulk Hogan wrestling the Warrior again. That was the evil. Yeah. Yes. Ah. Yes. Right. There we go. All right, so that's, I think, pretty sure that's our stopping point. Yes. Call your cable company or satellite company to order now. All right, so we're going to stop it right there. That's going to be 1 hour, 57 minutes, and 54 seconds.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platform. For exclusive bonus content plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at jamendo.com or on his website musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
Okay, it's time for our bonus match, and we have Sarah here. Sarah, I know you're a huge fan of Pat Patterson. Actually, I don't know that for a fact, but Pat Patterson.
The day Pat Patterson died, I insisted on not saying the S on the end of any plural words. So.
Well, that's good. That's good because you know, because if you did that, all of his fans would go banana. So you know.
I know.
Yes. All right, so we're going to go to YouTube since we both have that and it's working for both of us. And we're going to find, and you and the audience can go to YouTube, too, and go to Pat Patterson versus Ken Patera, December 29th, 1980. It actually says Ken Patera versus Pat Patterson, MSG 10-29-80. And right now, I'm at 0 minutes, 0 seconds, and I've got the WWE Classics On Demand logo in front of me. Sarah?
Okay, I will go back to the beginning. I thought we already started, but whatever.
No. Oh, no, no.
Sure.
See, everybody has to hit play at the same time, see? It's
okay.
It's very important. Okay. Yes. All right. Let me know when you're there.
I'm there.
What a lovely day. Okay, we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. Sarah knows that from if we're doing an old show that she can take Jim Valley's normal role of commenting on the fashions of the day. And I'm sure these are fantastic here.
I'm right. Sure they are.
Yes. From the Hall of Fame collection, here we go. Patterson and Patera, their big grudge match. The previous month, Pat Patterson had been a guest referee at Madison Square Garden for Ken Patera defending the Intercontinental title against Pedro Morales. And spoiler alert, Pedro Morales won the title and Ken blamed Pat Patterson. And they've hated each other for some time anyway. So I hope that ring announcer never loses that magnificent head of hair he has.
Oh, was that Howard Finkel?
Yes, it is.
What are you mean to poor Howard Finkel?
He's passed away, sadly. I don't know. Well, I have questions.
Lovely
about the, I have questions
there.
About the referee's hairdo, but I'll let you get close to that. Okay. Yep. Wow.
Those are some sideburns there.
Those are, yes. All right, so yes, Ken Patera from Portland, Pat Patterson from San Francisco. Close enough to accurate for WWF back in the day.
San Francisco and Canada back in the day.
San Francisco. Pat Patterson spent a good chunk of his career in San Francisco, and he became known as being from there.
Okay.
Yes.
He's got that San Francisco accent going on.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So, and the fan, then the people love Pat Patterson and hate Ken Patera. Yeah.
Somebody should have gotten Ken Patera those the pants that just snap right off.
I don't think they had made those yet in 1980.
You know what? Strippers existed, so they made those pants. Bad.
That's true, and they would have. That's true, and if there's any people who would have known what strippers were, it would have been the good people in the World Wrestling Federation. Okay, here we go.
Uh oh.
And we're off and running.
Pat didn't touch the referee there.
And Ken Patera out through the ropes. Yes. Oh my goodness. Nope. And we're out and brawling in the aisle at Madison Square Garden. Now they are talking. Now they did talk about how they're running late because this show is being televised on MSG. They're running late, but they will get this entire match in. Finkel had to explain that there are still this is not the last match. The people at home and that there's two more matches after this. But since those matches weren't televised, he didn't tell the audience what it was. So, but if you had stuck around after this, you would get to see the big Texas Death Match between Tony Atlas and the Big Cat Ernie Ladd. Hey, here we go.
One was actually from Texas.
What's that?
I hope one of them was actually from Texas.
Ernie Ladd played football in Texas. Does that count?
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Pat Patterson was from San Francisco.
Well, he wrestled. He was based out of there for a while. And he booked there. That's got to count for something. Yep. All right.
Pat just gave up on that hold.
Yeah, he did. Too close. Well, it's going to be a long match, I guess. Now he's going. Now he can slam him into the ring apron, which Vince McMahon doesn't mention it, but Sarah, it's the hardest part of the ring.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. If Michael Cole was here, he would have told us that 3 times.
All right. And if Corey Graves were here, he would have already made fun of Michael Cole 3 times. So it all evens out.
Yeah.
Okay, Patera. Nope. Oh, got him. What's he going for? A figure 4? A figure 4 at Madison Square Garden?
Fairly,
oh my goodness. Yep. There
very, very easy to knock Ken Patera down.
Yeah, for an Olympic weightlifter, yeah.
He falls down easily.
Yes, I know. That's a good point. That's a real weakness for a...
How is he always so close to the ropes? What the fuck?
I'm bleeping that, sorry. Yeah, well, it's just Ken Patera, he's a ring general, Sarah. He's a master of positioning.
He knows where the ropes are.
What's that?
He knows where the ropes are.
That's right.
He's always near them.
Yes. Oh, he's way.
Pat should probably stop trying to get him outside of the ring and keep him in the center of the ring.
Well, yes. I mean, I guess that would make sense. Of course, sometimes he just wants to beat up on Ken Patera more because.
Okay, were the ropes like a kajillion feet higher in 1980?
It does seem it maybe a little higher. Yeah, the ropes weren't uniform. You just got yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, yeah, I guess you got whatever.
Pat Patterson was that short.
He's not that short now. They're both, I think, they're both over 6 feet, I think.
This makes everybody look like lady wrestlers right now.
Well. Well, actually having Andre the Giant on the card is what makes everybody look like lady wrestlers. But
Right. There is a distinct lack of glitter and sparkles, though.
Yeah, that's true.
These would be the Shayna Baszlers of lady wrestlers.
All right. Here we go. He's got an actual suplex. Oh, no. You can't finish off Pat Patterson with a suplex, right?
I don't know.
I don't either, but I'm guessing you can't. Now what do we have? I think we're going to get another suplex. Oh, my goodness. These kids, they got to get all their moves in, Sarah. These youngsters.
Well, at least they're not in the ropes. They're at the ropes.
Wait a minute. Just give it a second. Oh, there we go. Knee lift. And right through the ropes.
Ken Patera really does not like to stay in the ring.
No, he doesn't. He's got that whole posing and flexing thing down, though, so.
Well, he hasn't put down one of the straps on the singlet yet, either.
No, he hasn't.
It's going to be awkward, the way that singlet was made, too.
Oh, now he got a non-gimmick chair and used it on Pat Patterson. I guess that's not a disqualification. This is the hardcore World Wrestling Federation of 1980.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, this is the start of the Reagan era. You know, you can't do anything that's
too nasty. They deregulated it? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, they deregulated it. And really, Patterson's a Canadian, so whatever you do to him doesn't matter, I guess.
Okay. But he's a Canadian from San Francisco.
Yeah, so that's even worse somehow.
Yeah. According to Ken Patera, he's a bum, too.
Oh, well, he's a bum. Well, that's them fighting words. There we go, because, you know. Nobody wanted to be a bum.
Considering that both of them have bleach blonde hair, not sure how bums do that, but.
Yeah, it's peroxide, I think. Is peroxide expensive?
It takes a little more than peroxide to get that to happen, Pat. Okay.
Well, all right. Having never bleached my hair, I will take your word for that.
I've never done it either, but I've watched it on the internet now. So.
Oh, well, hey, that's a good point. All right, back in we go. Oh, look, he's strong.
Ooh, Ken Patera just picked up Pat Patterson.
Sack of groceries, although you don't really throw your sacks of groceries like that. He's dropped the big elbow. That should be the end of the match right there. No, I guess not. Oh, how about that?
Wait, the suplex didn't do him in, so the elbow was supposed to do him.
Well, no, yeah, I guess this isn't a Dusty Rhodes match, so the elbow wouldn't finish it. All right, let's just stomp on his head there. When in doubt, stomp on the head.
So mean, Ken Patera. So mean.
Yeah, the WWF had a slower pace than most wrestling promotions in 1980. So.
Come on, fight it! I'm gonna torture him tonight. Torture.
If this is torture.
Yeah. No, watching it is torture. Oh well, when he was in the AWA around this time, he was the Ayatollah Ken Patera.
Okay.
Yes, giving you an idea.
Did he dye his hair black when he was in the AWA?
I think he just wore a turban. I think
that was, okay.
Yeah. Well, if Jerry Blackwell can be a sheik, Ken Patera can be an Ayatollah.
Okay.
Oh, no, the slingshot. Actually, and it's rare that you see the slingshot move actually, you know, work. Because as I've complained about over the years, many people try it and it looks bad most of the time. Oh, Patterson's rolling him up. He's driving the legs. No.
Well, at least he's in the center of the ring where he can't reach the ropes this time.
Yeah, that's how we know we're getting close to the end of the match here.
Pat has made some tactical improvements.
Mm-hmm. Oh, roll him up. Oh.
Really? A schoolboy?
Yep. Well, Pat Patterson likes schoolboys. Okay, that was a two count now.
I'm going to let that joke go.
Yes, I think we all should. All right. Well, Pat Patterson was a technical, well, by WWF standards in 1980, he was a technical wizard, okay?
Okay, he's punching the guy.
Yeah, but what he does looks good, which makes it, oh, he's got the full Nelson. The full Nelson is Ken Patera. Oh, no. Oh, no, he's got him.
Well,
oh.
If Pat fell on him, isn't he technically going to pin himself?
Yes, but actually nobody, they both kicked out.
For two
they both kicked out for two. They were doing the Bret Hart, Roddy Piper finish. A few years, you know. Few years early.
That may have been the fastest they've both moved in this match so far.
See, yeah, he's gotten his, he's hulking up, or whatever you would call this.
Ken is falling out of the ring again.
Okay, he's Rockfording up. I don't know who you'd say in 1980.
Ken falls out of the ring a lot.
Well, he doesn't seem to have a good balance for a major league professional wrestler. There we go. Oh, yeah, let's get him over the top rope. Hey, ref, what you doing there? I think Jim Molyneux learned how to officiate from this guy.
Come on. He looks vaguely like Jerry Lawler.
Referee, yeah.
Wait, are they being disqualified?
Ken Patera's being disqualified for not letting him out, letting him out of the ropes after whatever. You know what? Let me at him, ref. Let me at him. Yeah, okay. Well, I'm done. All right. I think there'll be a rematch one day.
They have 30 seconds for after the match shenanigans.
Well, we got to find out the decision here. Because it's a mystery. Yep, Ken Patera is disqualified. Pat Patterson's your winner. Boy, we're glad we settled that grudge here. Thank you. Yes, the winner, Pat
Patterson. Well, he still thinks that Pat Patterson is a bum.
Well, yeah, I wasn't expecting anything different. And despite the announcer saying so, everybody gets up and leaves right after this match ends. So there we go. Okay, Sarah, so everybody who's joining us next week, you'll get to see the hugely anticipated Conan versus Scott Hall match. And, of course, the three-way war games where the winner gets to face Bill Goldberg at Halloween Havoc. That's just incredible. And if you'd like to know more about Juventud Guerrera, Silver King, Dean Malenko, Kurt Hennig, or Saturn, you can feel free to visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, wrestlingobserver.com, or download your local library app because they're all in books. Sarah, do you know the line that Jim normally says here?
No, I don't.
Sarah, tell people how they can keep tabs on you and read your articles and all that stuff and where to find you on social media.
I am Sarah Kay on pwtorch.com. Mm-hmm. If you want to read my mean recaps of Total Bellas and my strangely not so mean recaps of Miz and Mrs.
Well, you like Miz and Mrs. better, right?
I do.
There you go. That's fine. Yeah.
It's not annoying for some strange reason. There's usually a plot on Miz and Mrs. Like,
you know what the other reason is? There's no Bellas on Miz and Mrs.
Yeah. It's that too.
Okay.
And, you can find me on Twitter at SunshineSight.
Yes, our little ray of sunshine, Sarah and I filling in for Jim. And
although you probably don't want to unless you'd like the COVID-19 updates for my county.
Well, I find them fascinating. Okay. Yes, well, Sarah would be telling you if you we'll be back next week, same way back time, same playback channel.
You know, you didn't tell me that in the pre-meeting notes, Pat.
We didn't really have a pre-meeting, though, so... Yeah, I guess that's fair.
I would have written it down, and I would have remembered.
Okay, well, tell you what. Go ahead. Can you say it?
Same way back time, same way back channel.
No, it's same way back time, same playback channel. I'm going to have to edit this like a few times. Join us next week, same way back time, same playback channel. You got it. Go.
Okay. Join us next week.
Don't
same
giggle.
Way back time, same playback channel.
All right, that's good. All right, and yeah, we're looking forward to this as we head for the Christmas season. Everybody go hit the GoFundMe and find Jim Valley and take care of that. If you waybackplayback.com, excuse me, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Also leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, wherever your pods are cast. And I think that's all we need. Until next time.
Is 7 stars really a thing or is that just a Meltzer reference?
It's just a Meltzer reference. It's a joke. You can't leave a 7-star review on Apple Podcasts. Lord knows I've tried.
Well, if there were 10, I think you could. But
if it was 10 stars, yes.
We don't want to encourage people to leave a 3.5-star review.
Well, we definitely don't want to. All right. But and we'll do the third hour of this next week. Until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.